Father God, we do praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of them. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word, that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And Father God, we thank you most importantly that we take a hold of that word. And we let it spring forth life in our souls. And we go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying, hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation, revival of this generation, revival of this city. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. We thank you that today, as we go to minister, we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your might, and your power, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, as we preach today, that they will not see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, that gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free, that anointing that in an instant makes everything okay. We just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm actually going to minister the same sermon that I ministered this morning to the Tulsa Church. One reason is because I had a text by one of the church members here said, you really need to minister that to Oklahoma City. And so I actually was thinking about saving it for, saving it to preach it sometime else, but I really feel it's on my heart. It's fresh and something I want to minister. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And like I said, you know, most of you know, obviously, I just came back from Greece, and I had the privilege of going to Corinth. And you know, it just kind of just makes things a little bit different. Whenever you were there where Paul was, and you saw the city and things like that. And so, actually, after I went to some of those different cities where Paul was, I began to reread some of the letters he sent to the cities. And it's just kind of interesting because it brings kind of a new perspective and a new thought too. Actually, you know, by visiting there in Greece and also brought this verse even to a greater light for me. Anyway, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, it says, Paul talking, says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." But I really want to focus in on verse number 2 here, when Paul says this, says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You know, when I read that a number of years ago, I started thinking the same thing. You know what? I just want to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I believe that that's where, that every Christian, every minister needs to think about Jesus Christ and him crucified. What was done there on Calvary changed our life. And in fact, like I shared this morning, I wasn't been planned for it to do, but do you realize when Jesus was born, it changed our calendar? Do you realize that? You have BC and AD. And in fact, if we were to start with Genesis, Genesis happened around 4000 BC. So really, if we were to start counting from the beginning of time, then actually it would be 6017 instead of 2017. But when Jesus came, it utterly changed our calendar. It was so significant. But you know what? Some people have let Jesus change their calendar, but it hasn't changed their life. And we should let Jesus change our life. Now, it's interesting whenever we read this because if you know anything about Paul, Paul was a very learned man. I mean, he spoke four or five languages. He was very eloquent. He could speak with anybody. And it was interesting because he said, when I was there, I was in weakness and fear and much trembling, not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because if you do a study about a lot of the ministers in the day, especially there in Greece, A lot of them. Now, you understand that right before Paul was here in Corinth, he was in Athens, and he actually was talking to the Greek philosophers there in Athens. And you understand, I'm sure many of you have read in history about Socrates, Aristotle, you know, Plato. Those all, they were all in Athens. Now, not, they were earlier than Paul's time, but Athens is known to have great philosophers. Now, these great philosophers, they come together and they discuss different things, but you know what? It's really all about theories. But what he was saying was, I'm not here to discuss a theory. I'm here to tell you about what happened. That Jesus Christ came, and he changed my life. Now, see, understand, you know, if we read over in Acts, that the Lord got a hold of Paul. He had a experience with God. It changed his life. Not only did it change his life, it changed his name. Do you realize that? He was Saul of Tarsus and became, you know, the Apostle Paul. I mean, utterly, he went from being a really bad guy to being the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, it was a life-changing experience. And when you have a life-changing experience, you want to talk about that. But see, it wasn't about his opinion. It wasn't about, you know, him speaking correctly or whatever. Because really, he was saying, you know, I was there just to talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because that's all I'm here to do. I'm not here to try to give you my opinion on what I think is happening, you know, in politics or anything else. But I'm here to tell you about Jesus. And when I tell you about Jesus, the power of God will come in. Because Jesus is all powerful. Now, you know, it's interesting because, I don't know if it's interesting or sad or what it is, but I know, you know, first let me say this. I'm not here to judge anybody's heart because I'm not, you know, that's not for me to judge. That's for God to judge. But I do know a lot of people in the ministry. I know a lot of people, you know, that are in my circles and outside my circles. And no, I don't know if you know this, but especially some people who are on TV, there are certain consultants, and if I name some ministers that I consulted with, you would know them, that they come in and they talk to you and they look at you and they tell you how you should dress. They tell you how you should act. In fact, I know in one situation they brought in a vocal coach for the certain minister because this one, they said you need to preach a certain way. There's a certain way that makes people more excited. Well, you know, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, but you know, it's not about doing that kind of stuff. It's not about having some kind of fancy speech. But it's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what Paul was saying. You know, it's not about me coming up here and philosophizing and arguing and whatever. Because now I understand that the ministers of that day in Greece, because of the philosophers and stuff like that, they would bring in stuff that Plato said or Aristotle said, and then they would try to put that in, you know, with the word of God and try to sound really intelligent. Now, the only thing about in Greece, you know, if you preach in Greece and if you use the Greek word, it's what everyone uses anyway, so it doesn't really, you know. But, you know, in America now, there's some pastors that don't know Greek. I mean, I must, you know, they're not Greek scholars or Hebrew scholars, and all they do is they throw in Greek words and throw in Hebrew words, and we can learn sometimes from a scripture, but you know, sometimes we also can confuse everybody. And I've been a few of those surfaces, I got confused. You know, but it's not about that. It's not about a person, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I was thinking about this last night as I was praying and thinking about ministering, I started thinking about something. I said, you know, when it comes to my wife, I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I know certain things that we call push people's buttons, you know, they would tick her off and things like that. I know what I could do if I want to get under her skin. I know things that I can do, you know, that she would really appreciate. I know all that. But you know what? Not just about my wife. I also know about my kids. I know things that make them tick. I know things, you know, different things. Not only that, my parents. I mean, you know, I know, you know, my dad, I never could do anything because my dad just would, he always said, go ask your mom. So, you know, I had to learn, you know, what were some things that would really help my mom, you know, when I'm trying to get my, some things, you know, my mom to her blessing on certain things. And, you know, and to this day, I still use some of them same tactics, you know. No, you know, I know my parents. I know what they, I know my sister. I know, you know, I know her strong points and I know her weak points and I know what I could do to irritate her because I used to do it many times over and over again. And you know, in fact, for whatever reason, growing up, well, not for whatever reason, but, you know, my dad, you know, he wanted to make sure that I lived a long life. And so he didn't spare the rod at all. And, you know, but I would pick on my sister on a daily basis and I got a lot of swats, but I deserved most of them. At least 85% of every swat I got. My sister probably deserved about 15% of the swats I got because she would do things to take me off to get some of it get in trouble because I was the older one, so I was getting in trouble. You know, it's one of those things. But the point is the reason that I knew about, don't know about my family is because I have a relationship with my family. I spend time with my family. But see, if we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, we have a relationship with Jesus, then we know about Jesus. We know who he is. But see, the way that we can know who we are in Christ Jesus is to know about Jesus and to know what he did for us. You know, so many Christians today, we know Jesus as our Savior, and that's all we do know. Now, maybe not here. Maybe, you know, hopefully you've learned more than that, you know, since you've become in the church here. But there's so many churches that, you know, they're just happy they're going to make it to heaven one fine day, you know, and they sing, you know, when the roll is called up yonder, you're going to be there. And that's great. I'm glad everyone's going to make it to heaven. But you know what? Jesus said in John 10:10, I can't hardly ever preach without saying John 10:10, that I have came that you might have life and have it more abundant. He was talking about life here on earth. You know, he doesn't want us to suffer. And you know, I mean, how mean would that be? Okay, let's all get saved and have a terrible time here on earth, so whenever you make it to heaven, you'll appreciate it more. That's not how God is. God loves us so much that he wants to give us good things. And in fact, it says that, you know, he's the God of more than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. And, you know, and I've been going over and over in my own head about that many times and thinking, you know what? There are so many times I don't even have enough. You know, much less more than enough. But my God wants to be, he wants to be the more than enough God to me. But you know what? The only reason he's not the more than enough God to me, because I don't ever ask him. You know, I should ask him more. We talked about that, you know, last week. You know, if I want the more than enough God, I need to ask for it. You know, we have not because we ask not. Ask what we will and it shall be done. But, you know, think about this. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I think every Christian should live our life that way. It's all about Jesus. I mean, what Jesus did for us changed our life, but it continues to change our life. You understand that wherever we go, as a born-again Christian, Christ also dwells on the inside of us. You realize that? So wherever we go, he also goes. You know, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength or strengthens me, but you know, he gives us strength. He helps us. He's always there. It says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so, you know, it's amazing why so many Christians get all upset all the time. Because why would you be upset when Jesus is right there with you? You realize, well, the reason you're upset is because, well, look what I'm going through. Well, the reason you're going through it is because you haven't asked him for help. He's right there with you. In fact, even if you're yet a sinner, the Bible talks about that he's standing at the door of your heart knocking and asking you, open it up, please. But, you know, what we have to understand that we are free moral agents to do, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like the Old Testament, you know, I said before you life and death. Please choose life, but some people still choose death. You know, we have a choice. See, we could choose to be saved or not be saved. You know, we can choose to live life in the flesh. We can choose to live life in the spirit. You know, it says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God or daughters of God. But, you know, we got to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified. I mean, let him change our life. And, you know, interesting, I was reading some different people, what they said about about these scriptures or whatever. And one minister said this. He said, I understand why people say it this way. But he says, you know, one thing that actually bothers me is whenever someone will say, well, I go to Brother So-and-so's church. I mean, you know, they're not trying to talk bad about the pastor. They're trying to, you know, but see, it's not about Brother So-and-so. It's not his church. It's your church. And it's really about Jesus Christ. And so sometimes, you know, we think, well, I'm not looking for a man. I'm looking for God. But you know what? It's interesting because if a certain minister comes to town, you put more stock in that minister. Well, why? Because, you know, the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. It also dwells in them, but it dwells in you. I mean, you understand that it doesn't matter what somebody's name is. In fact, see, when Paul showed up at Corinth, they didn't know who this guy was from Adam. You know, I mean, he was a nobody. He wasn't one of these, he wasn't a known preacher. He wasn't on the circuit. I mean, nobody knew him. And you know, you understand that the Jews, they didn't believe that Jesus was crucified and died and rose again. They didn't believe that. The Gentiles didn't care. I mean, you know, so he first actually, when he started out, he started going to the Jewish synagogues and trying to teach there, and they kind of didn't really like it a whole lot. And then so he went to the Gentiles who were really, at that point in time, they don't know who Jesus is. They don't know much about him. And that's why Paul says, you know, I'm just here to tell you about Jesus Christ and him crucified, how he changed my life, how he set me free, you know, how he made me new. You know, and maybe it was because Paul was really excited about it. But you know what? If I read every letter that I read, Paul seems to be, he seems to keep being excited about it. You know, unlike sometimes it seems a lot of us Christians, you know, we get excited when we first get saved. And when the people even say, well, they're just real zealous for God, you know, after a while they'll calm down. But why should we calm down? The reason we calm down is because we don't really know Jesus Christ and him crucified and how much it changes us and how much it could change more people. We don't understand the power because sometimes, you know, we think, well, you know, we had a powerful church when we see people healed, people set free or whatever. But you know what? Sometimes you have a powerful situation at your own home whenever you didn't have enough money and God provided. That was a powerful situation. Now, not everyone maybe saw unless you came and gave a testimony, or maybe the time, you know, wherever you were sick and the doctors didn't know what to do, you know, they did not give you a whole lot of hope, but God healed you. I mean, there's a lot of times in our own life that we have a powerful situation happen and we don't always even share. And that's one thing too. We need to be more mindful of giving testimonies. What God's doing for us, but don't be a bragger. I mean, you know, it's not about lifting you up, about lifting Jesus up. Because some people, the way they give testimony, it's almost like, well, look at me. You know, it's almost like I'm special. And that's what we need to understand. It's not, we're not special. We're all special. You understand? It's not that you're more special than I am. I mean, there is no difference. And that was one thing my grandfather always tried to tell everybody, you know, it's the same spirit on the inside of me as on the inside of you. You know, there's no special things that I have that you don't have. You know, maybe I understand how to use my faith more than you do, but that's not, you know, it's the same faith. You know, and the thing is that so many times it just almost seems like a lot of Christians will say, well, we're trying this or we're trying this. You don't try God. You experience him. You know, well, I'm going to try this out and see if it works. No, God's word always works. And you know, my grandfather always would say, he would tell other ministers. He said, you know, when you guys are not in the ministry anymore, I'll still be here because I'm basing everything on the word of God. And he always says he's a stickler for the word. He would say it over and over again. And like I said, every time I asked him a spiritual question, I had many times to ask him some spiritual questions, he'd always go to the word. He would never just like give his opinion. And if he wasn't even going to give his opinion ever, he would go to the word first and read like three or four scriptures. And then he would talk about what he thinks that these scriptures are saying. You know, and when he wasn't giving his opinion, he was giving his, you know, what he believes that the Lord was saying through these scriptures. And you know, but it seems, and I'm not trying to pick on any church anywhere, but there are a lot of good churches or a lot of churches out there that are not really talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, it's like, well, you come and have a good old sermon, everyone claps about it, and we're all happy. We go home, and the devil attacks us, and we don't know what to do. Because we don't know that we have power in the name of Jesus. We don't know that we've been set free, that we have authority. And I talked this morning, last night, if some of you haven't seen some of the news in Tulsa, we had a tornado come through town. In my neighborhood, I guess one of my neighbors that put his rain gauge out, we had 3.4 inches of rain last night. It all started about 1 in the morning, so it was and you know, about the time everyone starts to go to sleep, the tornado alarms go off, everything goes off, and you know, so it was hard to sleep last night, and not just for me, but also for my granddaughter who's Lakin, who lives there. But it was interesting because she was kind of wound up and jumping on the bed, and I don't know where she got it, but she came somewhere. She came with some kind of, you know, looked like a, you know, some kind of toy that she had, and it was looked like a magic wand that I've and she held her magic wand on. She calls me Pa. She goes, Pa, you know I have superpowers. And I said, you have superpowers? Yeah, I do. I said, how do you have superpowers? She goes, because Jesus is on the inside of me. He lives in my heart. And then she goes, not in my belly, but in my heart. And I have superpowers. And if ghosts and goblins come around, I tell them in the name of Jesus that you have to leave, and they have to leave. Now, I was pretty excited because, you know, understanding that you know, she's three. You know, but then I kind of got sad because how many people are 43 and 53 and 63 and 73 and 83 that don't know that much? You know, and understand, you know, it's interesting because when kids are three, sometimes they're afraid of stuff. They're afraid of the dark or you know, we had thunderstorms going on, and you know, sometimes kids are afraid. My dogs were afraid, but my granddaughter pulls her magic wand out and says, I have powers. And she wasn't talking about some power that come from some witch or somebody. She's talking about, I have powers from heaven through Jesus Christ. And I mean, it thrilled me. It made me cry because, you know, thinking about, you know, man, did I really teach her that? You know, but, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, we all know that, but we don't know that when we need that. And that's the problem. The problem is we don't think about Jesus Christ and him crucified when things are going crummy in our life. We're thinking about, man, everything is falling apart. What am I going to do? Well, what you need to do is you go to God and say, God, you know, this is what I'm going through. Because, you know, see, they understand we have relationship with him. We know him. He knows us. We talk with him. But, you know, a lot of times we just don't. Now, maybe you didn't have an experience like Paul did. Now, I'm not saying anyone had an experience like him. It was pretty supernatural. But, you know, there's just something about understanding, you know, who God really is. And he does, and you know, he's there for us. I mean, you know, ultimately you realize, like I said, he changed Paul's life and changed his name and everything else. And that's why he was able to write, all things are passed away. All things become new. I mean, he even got a new name. You know, he put the things behind him because it's not about what you did in the past. You know, the reason that many of us are afraid about Jesus Christ and him crucified, we're afraid about Jesus because we're afraid, well, I messed up so many times. You know, and so why would he want to help me? Well, you know what I'm saying? Jesus is not like you. And he's not like you. I don't care how many times you messed up. I don't care, you know, what you've done in your life. You know, it doesn't matter. He loves you. You can always come back home. You can always come to him. And he'll pick you up and dust you off and set you up right. You know, but just come to Jesus. And, you know, I think that more of us, we need to understand about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That you know, with Jesus, our life has been changed. And because of Jesus, you know, we can face tomorrow like the song says. Because of Jesus, all fear is gone. Because of Jesus, it's all because of Jesus. It's because of what he did through his death, burial, and resurrection. But you know what? It started out when he came. It started out when God saw the world was lost. In John 3:16, it says this way, for God so loved the world that he gave the world his only son. Knowing that you know, that his son would be crucified, knowing that his son would go through some awful stuff. But he did it because he loved us so much. But he loved everyone so much. It wasn't this, you know, because, you know, now we go forth 2,000 years later and we almost think, well, Jesus just came for the Christians. Well, if he just, you know, there wasn't no Christians when he came. Do you understand that? Nobody was a Christian when Jesus came. You know, and even when he was born, people still weren't Christians. People never became a Christian until he started his ministry and people started following after Christ and they called them Christians. All right, but before that, we had the Jews, you know, different Jewish sects. I mean, normally we read in the Bible about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other people you see. But then we have other folks, you know, from Islam and other religions or whatever, but there were no Christians. Jesus did not come for Christians because a lot of times in church, you would think that's the only thing that Jesus came for, Christians, because when someone comes from the outside, they're like, I don't know if you look right. I don't know if you should be here. I mean, you know, which is interesting because we're supposed to go out and reach the world, but we reject them when they come in our own building, especially if they sit in your seat, because, you know, I know where most of you sit that are here because you sit in the same area, but God forbid someone came from the outside and sat in your seat. Now, I'm assuming most of you would you know, be glad that they're here and wouldn't complain. But you know, there are some people I know that have gotten mad and asked us, hey, can you move that person? They're sitting in my seat. Not at our church, okay? But I know there are churches, you know, where they're stuck in the mud or whatever, you know, and they're like, you know, I mean, how stupid. We want people to come, and then we kick them out. I mean, that's a great first impression. You know, they tell you in marketing, you know, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. So, well, you know, and especially nowadays, I mean, well, I went to so-and-so's church. I mean, you know, they leave a review on how they were treated. So I sat in one seat, got moved, and then I sat in another seat, and somebody else moved me. And finally, the third time, I was able to stay there. I mean, I'm not saying it really happened, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes that does happen like that. But, you know, it's interesting. Paul didn't come with fancy words. He was really trying to talk to the common person, you know. And that was interesting because there in Athens, whenever he was there on Mars Hill, he talked about, you know, that you guys have a statue to the unknown God. And he was saying, you know, I know the unknown God. It's the real God. That's the one I serve. And he was talking to the philosophers and he was, you know, but when he went to, in Corinth, really you have your average people. I mean, and people who were around Corinth, they were sailors. They were people that worked crafts and you know, different things, whatever. They weren't philosophers. They were just ordinary people. And he came to speak to them in an ordinary language. You know, just talk to them, you know, and as we read his letters, I mean, he would just simply talk to the churches there and give them direction. But now what I think is still really cool is all the direction that Paul gave these churches, we still use it today. Now we have chapter and verses there because, you know, do you understand whenever he wrote the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter that we have in the Bible, he didn't put 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1. I mean, you know, man did that later on. You know, he just wrote a letter. You know, and either they passed it around, or the pastor there spoke on some things that Paul had shared, or whatever. But you know, it's just interesting though. The words that Paul preached are words that we live by. I mean, you know, we all have certain scriptures that are our favorite scriptures, and I guarantee you, a number of you probably have some scriptures that Paul penned to one of his churches that might be one of your favorite scriptures. Like my mom's favorite scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I've heard it many times because every time that, you know, as I came on board and start to work for the ministry, I would walk into my mom's office. I said, "Mom, we can't do that." And she would quote the scripture to me. So it was like, okay, I'll figure out how to do it. I mean, you know, I don't know how many times she's like, you know, I'm like, "Well, tell me how to do it. That's not for me to do. I'm not here to tell you. You figure it out. I know it can be done." Okay. So now I don't tell them it can't be done. I'm like, "Well, for my estimation, it's going to cost a lot if we want to do this, but we can do it. We'll get it done." You know, that's just what happens. And you know, I kind of joke about, you know, that we at Rainbow Bible College, Rainbow Training College, we actually decided to, our school song that we had, actually we adopted a song that was already written and made it the school song. And one year my mom decided she wanted a new school song. And so we had one of our guys who was on staff that was a writer, and he wrote a song or wrote a chorus. And my mom's like, "Well, that's pretty good. Let's put some more stuff to it." And I gave it back to him. I said, "Well, mom said she wants some more." And he had it for about 30 days. Finally, I said, "Craig, I don't have any more." So I went back and I said, "Mom, we don't have any more. This is the song." She goes, "Well, that's not good enough. I wanted to say this and this and that." And so finally, I'm looking at her. First of all, I'm thinking, "Well, what, you expect me to write it?" And she goes, "I don't care who writes it, you know." So I start taking notes, and you know, and actually, you know, I'm one of the four other people who actually penned the rest of the school song, all from mom's words, actually, which is so interesting, because she told me, I mean, exactly what she said. "Well, what I want this song to be is," and we sing it at our graduation there at Rama. She goes, "When and we always stand up and sing it. So when they're standing there that day, graduating, I want them to think about the their time here at Rama." So I got the first verse, "Standing here today." That was I wrote that part. That's the first line of our school song, "Standing here today," because that's what mom said. We're standing. And so, you know, the interesting part about it is, all 2 years they practice singing this song, and it never clicks in. People make fun of it, and then they get to graduation day, and everyone's like, have tears, boo-hooing, because that was meant for graduation day. It wasn't meant for, you know. And so somebody else got the second line. It says, "In your will divine." I got the third line, "Reflecting back." Because dad and mom wanted to reflect back and think back, and someone else came up with the precious time part. But anyway, it's just interesting. You know, I've never really wrote songs before. Well, I've never wrote songs that anyone else sung besides myself. Because, you know, I wrote the songs that nobody sang. I used to write songs, but they were stupid songs. I sang them to my sister. But what I would do is I would take real songs and I would change the words to the real songs, you know, and then my sister didn't like those songs anymore because I would sing them my way, you know. And so anyway, but you know, that's what you did. You did what you have to do, you know. But the interesting part about it is the Bible, I mean, my mom literally believes the scripture, and I do too, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, that he'll give you the strength. You know, it needs to be done. He'll give you the strength to do it. You know, and I've done things that I thought I could never do, or I never dreamed that I'd ever have to do, just because we needed it done. You know, and that's just the way it is. But you know, thank God. God's so good, and he loves us so much, and he gave us. You know, I said Jesus is right there. He's with us. He helps us. He leads us. He guides us. I mean, really, writing the song was pretty easy. Now, you know, because I knew what she wanted, so you know, how hard is it? You know, she wants a song, so we're going to write a song. And it wasn't really that hard, and we were able to make it even sound rhyme and sound good. And we've been singing it for years, you know. And so you just do what you have to do. But Jesus is so awesome. He's so awesome. You know, and I think that's what we need to get a hold of, not just ministers, but everyone needs to get a hold of, and everyone needs to preach on that and talk about how awesome he is. You know, more people would want you know, to know him if more people would talk about him. You know, a lot of times, you know, and you know, if you talk about, "Man, my God's so good." I mean, you know, especially if we can go give testimonies at work. You know, people that are not Christians, it don't matter. "Man, God blessed me with this new car." Really? Your God does that? Yeah, he loves me. I'm like his favorite. I tell people all the time, I'm God's favorite. Now, understand, God doesn't have any favorites. We're all his favorite. You know, but God's capable of having many favorites. And so that's just, you know, the way it is. You know, but, you know, it's just so awesome. I mean, you know, I'm excited about each and every day because, you know, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter who I am. It matters who I am in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's all that really matters. Because I might be nothing without Jesus, but with him, I'm everything. And, you know, it's not about who I am without Jesus. And that's the thing. A lot of us, we start thinking about who we are without Jesus, you know, because we're thinking about how we're going to do this and how we're going to make it work. But whenever you think about how you are with Jesus, it changes the way you think, changes the way you live, changes the way you are. And, you know, and it kind of frustrates me now with somebody. I understand, you know, there is such good things, and you know, it's okay to have marketing. It's okay that we show videos every once in a while. Okay to have that sometimes, but you know what? Really, everything needs to point toward Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, and it's okay to have some fun little sermons about whatever, but you know, for the most part, we need to be talking about Christ. Everything should be about Christ. You know. I had a friend that went to a certain church of another friend, opening service their first time, and they were there just to help out. They were living in another state, but they were helping them with the sound, and they came back and they said, you know, Craig, everything was great, but I don't know if they talked about God or Christ the whole service. You know, that's just sad. You know, because it's not about, hey, we'll just not talk about Christ. I mean, that's the whole thing about being a Christian. It's talking about Christ. Do you realize that's like the main thing that we do? We follow Christ. We're imitators of Christ. I mean, that's why they call us Christians. Like I said, we're not just shuns. We're Christians. You know, we don't shun Christ, but we embrace him. And that's what Paul did. Wherever he went, he embraced Christ. And sometimes people didn't like it. But Paul had what we call perseverance. It didn't matter whether people liked it or not. He kept on. Because he was doing what he knew to do was to talk about Christ. Because, you know, it was all about Jesus for him. But it should be all about Jesus for us too. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done for us. It's all about, that we are the head, not the tail. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Now, without Christ Jesus, we're not victorious. But you know what? We're in Christ Jesus. It's about knowing what we have through Jesus. And it's all because of Jesus. I mean, you know, yes, we do have salvation. Yes, we have eternal life. Yes, we have our healing because the stripes on his back. But there's so much that we have. There's so much that he's done for us. He loves us so much. And, you know, and what really irritates me is I'm on social media. Most of you know that. I'm on Facebook mainly, but there's other things. And, you know, it's getting to a point that it's not, thank God's not weekly, but it seems at least monthly that you read about some big-time minister stepping down. And basically, if you read about it, a lot of times they're just having burnout or they're having this. And how do you get burnout on Jesus? The only reason you're burnt out because you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. But, you know, I understand what many of these people are, they're so afraid is because they're trying to perform. It's not them performing. It's them letting Jesus Christ, you know, fill the room. It's not about me coming and trying to perform. And Paul, that's what Paul is saying. Don't come and try to perform. Don't come and try to make things happen. In fact, I don't even take credit for my sermons anymore. I mean, I'm at that point in time because it's not really about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And you know, half the time, all I do is read the Bible and talk about the Bible, you know, because that's what it is. And the other half, I say funny things, you know, things that most people don't think about. And because I'm pretty transparent, most of the time, I don't plan to say this thing. And sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's probably stupid or whatever. I'm just me. I'm just doing what I am. But, you know, what's interesting part about it is I can relate to Paul. I mean, I actually has, you know, I'm educated. I mean, you know, I do have a degree. I have an accounting degree. Now, I know accountants are boring. I'm pretty much not really a boring type person, you know, so I don't really know. You know, and if I'm going to take an IQ test, I'm on the genius scale or lower level of the genius scale, but I'm a pretty smart guy. You know, I can figure out quite a few things. But, you know, it's not about what I know. It's about that I know Jesus. And that's what Paul was saying. You know, it's not about what you know. It's not about that you know all kinds of worldly knowledge. And it's not about that you can operate on brains, you know, or you're a doctor or this or that. It's about knowing who Jesus is and knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. And it's all about Jesus, about he came to this earth. He died on the cross. He arose to the right hand of the Father, and he's there, seated there to help us. And we have been given his name to use. And, you know, when ghosts and goblins come, you know, we can say, in the name of Jesus, you have no right. You have no authority. You have no ability. You can't attack my body. You can't attack my life. I mean, fear can't dwell in me. I mean, see, that's what Paul was telling, you know, his disciple Timothy. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind is peace. You know, we have the peace that passes all understanding. Paul talked about that many, many times. And I tell you what, those scriptures, the peace that passes all, I mean, I think about that a lot. You know, because I think about, what if I didn't have Jesus? I wouldn't have that peace. I mean, you know, I don't know how many times I've gone through situations and, you know, in a natural, it's like, I mean, what do you do? But you know, I'm peaceful about it because I know that my God's in control. And if God be for me, I don't care who's against me because I have the greater one. I have God for me. And that's why, you know, I don't care who's against me. If God's, I have God for me. And I know that nothing, no thing can separate me from the love of God. God loves me no matter what. Even though I messed up in life, even though that I've done things that I shouldn't do, God still loves me. And he sees me as a worthy person, and he sees me as precious. He sees me as valuable, you know. And when you come back to God, he doesn't point my past out. He points my future out. And it's not about your past. It's about your future, because you can never reach your future looking at your past. And that's why, and Paul understood that. I think if any person is going to understand, it has to be Paul, because Paul was he wasn't a good guy, and you know, and he was there, and he had the authority to put Christians to death and all kinds of mean things. But praise God, you know what's so amazing is that God saw potential in a man that wasn't very nice, so God can see potential in you. I'm kind of joking, but I'm being serious, you know. And you know, sometimes we look at people and we think there's no way that God can use them, you know. But you know, it's not you. You're not in control. It's God. I mean, I've seen many people that I thought, man, there's no way. But I tell you, man, once they gave their life to God, things just changed. You know, and here's what I don't understand. I mean, I see people's life and things are going downhill. Things are so crummy. Why don't you just turn your life over to Jesus? You know, and sometimes I don't understand, because he does love us. Maybe it's because, see, sometimes that they grew up with a very judgmental God and a very judgmental church, and everything was about judgment. But it's not about judgment, it's about love. The whole New Testament was based on love. For God so loved the world. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he goes on and on about love. It's all about love. And that's what Jesus did. I mean, he loves us so much. It's all about how much he loved us. In fact, he loved us so much that he died for us. And you know, when he was there on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Just forgive them. Because he had so much mercy and compassion and forgiveness for people. And that's the same Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still has love, mercy, and compassion for people. He loves people. And you know, but the way that Jesus can show his love, mercy, and compassion for people who are lost and people who don't know any better is by using us. Because we're his hands and his feet. So you know what? We have to have love, mercy, and compassion because we have Jesus. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. I mean, so it's with us. You know, sometimes we look at certain people and thinking, well, they have a different spirit. No, we have the same spirit that Jesus had. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. You know, I read about Stephen in Acts. What's the Acts? Acts 6. I have it in my notes. Acts 6:8. And it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Well, how did he do that? Because the same Holy Spirit that was with Jesus was also with Stephen. And what Paul is saying is, see, the same Spirit that was with Jesus is with me now. And I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I'm here to tell you what he did. I'm here to tell you about how much he loved you. I'm here to tell you, you know, about he wants to change your world. Not just your the way you date the world, but change the world. You know, and the thing about it is, I think that so many ministers, and even Christians, not just ministers, I don't just take this for a ministry thing. I take it for a Christian thing, because you know, when I first read that, I mean, I want to only know about Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, that's how I live my life. It's all about Jesus, and it's about what he did on the cross, because what he, you know, and well, even we sing the song at the cross where we first saw the light. You know, it's all about the cross. It's, you know, and if you didn't realize that's why there's crosses all over the place. That's why that's like the Christian symbol is a cross. You know, and you have to understand that Jesus is no longer on the cross. And that's what we forget. He's not on the cross. He's not in the manger. Sometimes, you know, we celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, Easter, and we kind of think, well, Jesus is still, he's not in the manger. He's not on the cross. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells on the inside of us. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you. And Paul talks about that. Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God? That he dwells on the inside. So if the temple of the living God dwells on the inside of us, why do we act the way we do sometimes? Why do we do what we do? And I'm not talking about sinning. I'm talking about being depressed. I'm talking about being upset. I'm talking about trying to figure out how are we going to do this in life, and how are we going to live life. And you know what? I read social media, and these people they're all. I mean, I know people that they've been in the way a long time. That's the problem. They're in the way. They don't know the way. The way, the truth, and the light. I mean, through Jesus Christ, because that's what John says. I mean, that's Jesus is the way. But you have to know who he is. You have to know the Jesus Christ that was crucified, that's on the right hand of the Father. The Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. We have to know what he taught. And he taught, you know what? Love God and love people. I mean, if we can do those two things, that's all the laws and all the commandments are hung up on these two things, love God and love people. But you got to love people just as much as you love God. If you can't love people, how can you love God? Because, you know, people are made in the image of God. You say, yeah, but God's not mean. People are. But you know what? They're only mean because they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. But you do. So, you know, it doesn't matter that people are mean. So what? They're mean. Is that going to stop you? You know, people were mean to Paul. Do you realize that? I mean, he was beaten, he was bruised, he was battered, he was left for dead, he was jailed. I mean, a lot of things. And then he talked about what a joy it was. How he finished his course with joy. How, you know, I mean, how it's such an awesome responsibility to be a servant of the Most High God. I mean, this is a guy that was beat up many times. You know, and I think about this. I mean, you know, I mean, what Paul went through, but he was like, it's not what I went through. It's not really about me. It's about me doing what I know what God wants me to do. And that's to share Jesus. And some people don't like Jesus. You know, and some people are going to reject it. But you know what? That doesn't mean I shouldn't share it. Just because someone rejects it. Now we also, the Bible talks about being all things all men. We have, you know, sometimes that we need to understand there's such thing as tact, there's such thing as knowing when to talk. And in fact, I found out until people know you love them, then they don't care what you say. And that's the deal. You know, Jesus, you know, the first thing he always did was walk in love. And what's interesting to me is so many Christians say, you know, I have trouble with my love walk. I'm like, why? Then you don't know Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's all about your love walk. That's about, I love you so much that I'm going to die for you. You're like, yeah, but that's really, I mean, that's, you know, I'm not going to die for people. I mean, but the Bible says we were crucified with Christ. that I no longer live, but Christ lives on the inside of me. And if the same nature lives on the inside of me that lives on the inside of him, then it shouldn't be hard for us to love people. So for the love of God, love people. I mean, you know, God loves you, so you should love people. You're like, yeah, but that's hard because people are mean. I don't care how mean people are. Yeah, but they've done this and, you know, done that. And, you know, I'm tired of your butts. Just love people. You say, well, but I don't know how. Well, I mean, how do you not know how? I mean, if you're a follower after Christ, I mean, how would, I mean, everywhere that Christ went, he loved people. I mean, he was moved with compassion when he see people hurting. I mean, you know, it's interesting. You know, if you can read the Gospels and you can really get a hold of it, you know, how can you not love people? Because that's all Jesus talked about was loving people. Even Peter had to love people. Peter might have been a little tough for him. He cut people's ear off and things like that. I mean, Peter had a temper. You know, he was, but we have to love people. I want to leave you off with the story. Now, I didn't read it this morning, and I totally forgot because we took communion this morning, and so I totally forgot. But so I wanted to, before I forget, I want to read this story, and it's so awesome. It's a story that that Billy Graham used to tell about a police officer in northern England. It says a police officer on night duty in a city in northern England, as he walked the streets, he heard a quivering sob. Shining his flashlight into the darkness, he saw a little boy in the shadows sitting on the doorstep with tears running down his cheeks. The child said, "I'm lost. Please take me home." The officer said, "I'll be glad to take you home. Where do you live?" The officer replied. But the little boy was so tired and so scared he couldn't remember his address. The policeman began naming street after street, trying to help the boy remember where he lived. He named the shops and the hotels in the area, but the little boy could give him no clue. Then he remembered at the center of town stood a church with a large white cross that towered high above the rest of the city. The policeman pointed to the cross and said, "Do you live anywhere near that place?" The little boy's face immediately brightened up. He said, "Yes, sir, take me to the cross, and I can find my way home." That is the mission of the church. We are to point people to the cross, and the cross will lead them safely home to God. You know, it's interesting. If we can just get to the cross will lead us home. You know, but so many times, you know, in the world that we live in, we're not pointing people to the cross. I mean, we're either too busy or too this or too that or whatever. And even ministers, I mean, they're too busy raising money to point people to the cross. And I'm not saying it takes money to operate the gospel. It takes money to operate a church. I get it. But you know what? Sometimes, as you know, I don't even watch, you know, very much Christian television. You know, I'm not saying that there's not some good things on there, but a lot of times it seems it's more for the show. You know, even they take healings and they make a show of them. You know, and there's a thing of testimonies, but it's like you know, I don't know. It's just all about the show. But you know, Paul said it's not about the show; it's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I don't think it should be about the show, but about Jesus. And you know, everything should point to the cross because that's ultimately where it all starts. And so many times that, you know, after we get saved, we almost forget about the cross. You know, except, well, you know, we do have Easter and we take communion every once in a while, and so we remember the cross. But you know what? We should remember the cross every day because it's about the cross. In fact, something that I didn't say, that I said this morning, you know, think about this, and I think about it all the time because I'm kind of weird and think about things, you know, a lot. And remember when Jesus came, there was, you know, he came to ministers of the Jews. You know, you understand, if you read the Old Testament, you understand the Jewish law, you understand that every time something happened, you had to go atone for your sin by slaughtering a goat, a lamb, a ram, or whatever. You know, after a while, that wouldn't be too fun. In fact, I was joking. I said, you know, you could tell the people that were really, you know, bad because they would have more livestock, knowing that they're going to have to bring those to the altar, you know, and slaughter those things. You know, I mean, you know, some of us would have to have, you know, we'd have to have extra, you know, extra light. You know, we need some more lambs down here. We're running out. But praise God that Jesus became the ultimate lamb, that there was no more sacrifices anymore. He became the ultimate sacrifice for us. And, you know, and it's so amazing. And we don't understand that. I mean, not one of us, I mean, unless you on your own time went hunting and you dressed a deer or whatever. But I mean, that's one thing. That's something that you do because you enjoy it and you enjoy eating the meat or whatever. We're not talking about eating the meat. We're talking about coming and slaughtering it on the altar to make atone from your sin. You know, you don't get to eat the meat. That meat, it's not going to help you. So think about this: is they no longer have to do that. If I was a Jew, that's why I would accept Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, that's good for me. I'm tired of slaughtering lambs here. But think about that the goats. The animal's blood only could atone for a short time, but the blood of Jesus atones us forever. It's just so awesome. But, you know, and we don't get it because we weren't Jewish. But, how awesome that was that he purchased our salvation. I mean, it's so incredible. And sometimes, and the more you read the Bible, and that's another thing, too, it might be good to actually read the Bible sometimes. You know, and nothing. We have a lot of good books out there, and those books point you to the Bible. But you know what? A lot of people read a lot of Christian books, but they don't read the Bible. You know, that's like I said. You know, when I went over to Greece, I wanted to read all the letters that Paul wrote to the different churches. I wanted to reread them. I've read them all, but I wanted to reread them in context and kind of remember back and remember some of the things in the city and trying to think about and imagine and it's just it's kind of brings things alive. And you know, it's just awesome. But I'm here to tell you, we serve an awesome God. And our Savior, he loves us and he wants for us to be in relationship with him on a daily basis. You know, and we should all in life only want to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's life-changing. It changes our world. Jesus changed my world, and he's changing your world. And, you know, it would be nice for him to change other people's world, but so many times that, you know, we're like, well, I just don't want to say anything. You know, I don't know. You know, maybe when the right, you know. But, you know, God will bring the right timing. It's amazing because he opens the door for me a lot. It's really amazing because, just the other day someone asked me and said, well, why are you such a nice person? I helped somebody out, and they had a need. And they were there, you know, and they could have been a scam artist. I don't know, but they said they needed something, and they were shocked that I didn't even ask. I just pulled up money and blessed them. They're like, why are you such a nice person? I said, because I'm a minister, and that's what Jesus would do. Jesus is a nice person. I began to tell them about Jesus. Now then they began to said that they were Pentecostal and whatever, but you know, it was, you know, so they knew Jesus, but they still weren't used to having people be nice. So they must not know many people who really know Jesus, because Jesus is nice. You know, and Jesus is there to help people. And Jesus, you know, it's just amazing. You know, sometimes it being nice to someone could open the door to be able to lead somebody, you know, to the Lord. It's just amazing. I know my wife tells a story about there was two girls that came by our house to sell her magazines. And I don't know, she just felt led. They were talking about how nice our house was, you know what I'm saying there. She felt led to invite them in and talk to them and got them both saved. All right, so that they came to sell magazines, and she bought some magazines from them. She didn't really need the magazines. She bought them, you know, just to be a blessing to them. You know, but, you know, what she gave them was more important than a magazine purchase is going to get them a few extra points for whatever they're raising money for. It changed their life, you know, and it was, and they were, like, curious on why she even took the time, because most of the people, they didn't want to take time to even buy magazines, much less take time out of their day to talk to them. But, you know, she said, I just felt the leading of the Lord just to talk to them, and found out they were going through some tough times, and find out that it's been tough for them. But you know what? Sometimes that we're so busy, we forget about other people that's out there that needs help. And that's why, I prayed every time that I minister, you know, help us to go take the love of Jesus to a lost and dying, hurting world. You know, I don't just pray it for my own self. I pray it for you guys. I mean, I want you guys to understand that, you know, we need to take Jesus Christ and him crucified to people who are lost and they don't know Jesus. They don't have the peace that passes all understanding because they don't even understand what peace even is. You know, we live in a world right now that is pretty, I mean, you know, it's not real peaceful. You know, especially if you watch the news, and the news makes it worse. I mean, you know, they'll take one thing and make it, I mean, and they'll make it 10 times worse than it really is, probably more than 10 times worse than what it is. And, you know, they'll hyper-sensationalize it. But, you know, Jesus loves us, and he cares about us. And, you know, we need to point everybody to the cross, because if you point them to the cross, they'll find their way home. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they won't leave this place without knowing him. Or maybe they're here today and at one time they walked with the Lord, but they turned their back, they went away, and they've kind of been doing things their own way, and they want to come back home and rededicate their life to God. If you're here tonight and you have never been saved, or you want to rededicate yourself to God, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. We don't want you to leave this place without having a supernatural experience with Jesus like Paul had. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your Son, as their Savior, that people come across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will change their life and they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, is there anyone here that needs healing in their body? If you're here and you need healing in your body, I want to pray with you. So anyone here needs healing, if you need healing, I'd like to pray with you. Just come on down here. Come on down here. I want to pray for you. Amen. Jesus is the healer. Amen. So I want you to understand that I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to lay my hand upon your head, and I'm going to pray for you. And when I do, the power of God will come upon you. Amen. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all. Just think about Jesus. Think about your healing. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God. We thank you, Father, as we lay our hands upon them, that healing power, God, will flow from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, driving out whatever Satan's tried to do to their body. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and we shall see in the name of Jesus. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, that's it right there. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for touching this body right now. We thank you, Father, for healing her. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God working in her body to effect a healing and a cure. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. That's it right there. There it is. The power of God is upon you. It's upon you. Hallelujah. It's upon you. It's upon you. And I'll just let it saturate you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God. God's a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. I know Dad's scheduled to be back here with you next week. I mean, I say scheduled because sometimes he changes the schedule on the day before, but he's scheduled to be here. He's been on vacation. You know, they've taken some time off, and so they should be ramped up, ready to go. Amen. Amen. Don't forget about the baseball game coming up. Greg has some tickets. Also, if you're interested in going to the Kindle the Flame, for you ladies, not guys, ladies, Kindle the Flame, you can see Heather. She has some tickets there. She has some information all about that. Anything else? Okay, Greg says he only has 9 tickets for the baseball game, so that's all he has, all right? All right, well, the way we just mess around here is I'll be back at that store to shake your hand. If you do not want to shake my hand, there's a door you can go out there over there, all right? God bless you guys. Oh, yeah, first-time visitors. We do have a few first-time visitors. If you're a first-time visitor, just raise your hand once again, and we have a gift for you, and Jan's going to come, and she's going to take you to a place and going to make sure you get that gift. And we want to invite you to come back. We're here every Sunday night at 6 p.m., usually 6 to 7:15, 7:30, just doing a wonderful thing with God. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful week.